The Bible reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 13 and beginning at verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Amen.
Thank you very much, Kerry. Just to say that Kerry and I are married, so that's the reason why we're able to stand close to each other, just in case you didn't know that. And we have been married for quite a long time, actually, so Kerry is a saint in every way imaginable. But thank you, Kerry, for being part of doing it here, and thanks to Tom, who's doing all the technical stuff at the back of the room as well. He'll be on screen in a little bit. Just wanted to apologize if you've experienced any slight audio challenges, a bit of a crackle, I think, on the microphone, but hopefully now I've got this one, everything will be okay today for you. Well, we're exploring our motto text for 2021 from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, to live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. This is going to go with us throughout this year, and we're going to be looking at what does it look like to live a worthy life that pleases the Lord in every single way. And so last week we started a series called Live Well, looking at the four steps that Paul outlines for us in Colossians chapter 1 for what it looks like to express this worthy life, this living well kind of life. Last week, we looked at that first phrase of Paul, which he says, "Bear fruit in every good work." And if you haven't heard last week's sermon and weren't part of our worship, then please do catch up with that. They're all available on YouTube anyway. But today, I want to look at the second part of that, and that is to grow in the knowledge of God. So to grow to know Jesus, what does that look like? If we're going to live well, if we're going to live this worthy life, we need to grow to know Jesus, to grow to know him. Now, I'm sure during this lockdown period, lots of things have been going on. And one of the things I've noticed a lot is that people like to have quizzes together. And perhaps your family have been doing quiz nights on Zoom. Maybe you did a lot of them in the first lockdown, and that's dwindled a little bit. But you know what? There's so many quiz shows on TV, aren't there, at all times of the day, that you can watch any that you like. And I'm sure you've got one that is your particular favorite. I particularly like the quiz shows that don't have celebrities on, but that's just my problem, not theirs. But I really do admire the people who come along and put themselves in front of the screen to answer questions that, to my mind, are pretty crazy and far too difficult. My favorites, and I'm sure you've got your own, would be Mastermind, followed by Only Connect, followed by University Challenge. It's a Monday night quiz fest, and I love those ones. Of course, Mastermind's been going for such a long time and is so recognizable because of its chair. But I sit there throughout all those programs, barely able to answer any of the questions, dumbstruck at how much information I don't actually know and how much these amazing people know about a whole range of subjects. So I don't know whether it's torture watching these quiz shows because you're just revealing the things that you don't know. But you know, it's the same when I listen to people who have been following Jesus as well. I'm amazed at how much people know about Jesus, about the Bible, about Christian history and theology. And I sit there and listen to them and I think, goodness me, I've still got a long way to go. There's so much that I still don't know. But then I pause and I think, do you know what? It's not just about knowing information about Jesus. The key is to know Jesus. And that's, I think, the challenge that Paul is setting us today, to grow in our knowledge of God. Now, knowledge for Paul is not just about information that fills our head. And it's great to have information. I'm all for learning and information. But when Paul talks about knowledge, he talks about first-hand experience, encountering who Jesus is in reality, not just knowing about him, but actually knowing him. So that, I think, is the challenge Paul sets for us, and I want to just talk about today. What does it look like to really grow in the knowledge of Jesus, to grow to know him firsthand, personal, in a way that transforms our lives, that changes the way that we live? Paul talks about it a lot in Colossians, actually. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, he says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. In Colossians 2, 2 to 3, he says, so that you may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 3:10, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. See, Paul is saying, get to know Jesus. Grow to know him. For Paul, information is interesting, but knowledge is life transforming. When it comes to knowing Jesus, there is no end to what you can know. And there is no end to how that knowledge can change your life, to live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. In the reading that Kerry brought to us, the parable of the sower, Jesus is telling us that there is incredible potential in his word, in knowing him. The seed is the word of God. The sower sows it out liberally to all corners of his field as he's walking down it. But of course, the word, the seed, needs to find good soil in order to flourish, in order to grow. Now, every time I read this, I think, you know what, wouldn't it have been better if he'd taken every seed and planted it in the good soil? And not lost all that potential. But of course, when Jesus tells his parables, he's being realistic. He knows that when the word of God goes out, not everyone takes it in. Not everywhere starts growing roots. Not everyone bears fruit. But that doesn't diminish the potential. The potential for you and for me that when we hear the word of God, for it to take root in our hearts and for it to grow so that our life is transformed because of our encounter with who Jesus is. So what is Jesus saying in this parable? Well, as I say, the seed is the word of God. It has potential. But I'm more interested in the soil, and I think that's what Jesus is talking to us about today. What's your life like? How receptive is it to knowing about Jesus, to growing the 100, the 60, the 30-fold of the crop? Jesus knows that his words have different results in different people. Jesus knows that his actions have different results in the lives of different people. But what if, when we heard the word, it would grow and flourish into the full potential of the word of God sown in us? In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 19, Jesus articulates what this parable is about. He says that there can be a lack of understanding when the word comes. Maybe you've had no one to explain to you the word of God. We don't understand it, and so it can't take root because there's nobody there to help us. That happened in Acts chapter 8. You may remember the story of the Ethiopian official was in his chariot, and he was reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he said, I've no one to explain this to me. And then God sent Philip to go alongside the chariot. And the chariot stopped, and Philip took time to explain to the Ethiopian official exactly what Isaiah was pointing to. He was pointing towards Jesus, towards the Christ. And in that moment, because the Ethiopian had someone to explain it to him, in that moment, his life was changed. His life became fertile soil for the word of God to take root. Some of the other seed, it couldn't take any root. And Jesus says in Matthew 13, verse 20, this is when tough times come. You know, for many people, they hear the word of God, but then tough times come, and they've got no one to stand with to make them strong during that, to keep hold of the hope that Jesus has for them. So they fall away. Again, that happened in the life of Jesus. In John chapter 6, verse 66, I think it's the saddest verse in the whole of the gospel, because it says in that verse that people walked away from Jesus. Can you imagine? People who were actually there walking away from Jesus, but it happened. And they said, you know what? This teaching is too hard for us. We have no root. The tough times have come. We're going to fall away from this. And that can happen in each of our lives as well. And maybe for some of you watching today, maybe you've had a period in your life when you've fallen away from who Jesus is, when your life hasn't been impacted by him. And then Jesus says that some of this seed, it's the worries and the anxieties of life come along. Matthew 13, 22. And we lose focus and we lose trust in Jesus. Yeah, this has been an incredibly testing time for everyone in different circumstances, but facing the same problems. It's easy to lose focus on the fact that Jesus is with us through it. And the worries and the anxieties of life take away the potential that this seed has in each of us. You know what? So I don't want anybody to feel bad about what's going on at the moment in terms of your relationship with Jesus, because the seed is being sown and there is still this potential for 160 and 30 times the impact in your life. That as you go down deep into this rich soil, you allow God's word to take root, then your life can be transformed. You can grow to know Jesus. First-hand experience, life-giving power in your life every day. Perhaps the conditions aren't right in your life right now, but I believe that they can be. I believe that the seed sown in your life can bear amazing fruit, that you can grow to know Jesus. And I just want to look at a character in the Bible, Zacchaeus, to see what can happen when a seed, when God's word takes root and goes deep and can grow into the potential that is wrapped up in it. In Luke chapter 19, we've got this very almost comedic encounter between Jesus and the tax collector, Zacchaeus. You may know the story from years ago. You may be able to sing the chorus. You remember Zacchaeus was a very little man and Jesus stopped. You know that. I'm not going to sing it for you, but perhaps afterwards you could do that. But you know the story. If you don't, Luke chapter 19. It's a great story, and I want to talk about that. So Zacchaeus, on the margins of society, a franchisee of the Roman tax system. He'd won the contract. In fact, he was in charge of many other tax collectors. He was the chief tax collector. And the thing about tax collectors was people didn't like them a lot. Why? Well, because they could charge whatever they liked to the people. As long as the Romans got their share, their amount, their percentage, the tax collector could add extra on. And so often people would be really burdened very heavily by this tax system. So Zacchaeus lived very happily and comfortably. But there was a day when he realized, perhaps this isn't what life's meant to be. Maybe something is missing. And he began to realize that maybe this something was Jesus. And he needed to know Jesus. And so the story tells us that he ran. His life was small. He couldn't get a front row seat to see Jesus. So this tax collector did something very undignified. He ran and he climbed a tree. His focus was on tax collecting. He was alone. He had no one to help him understand who Jesus was. There was no decent soil for a seed to take root of. The cares of the world, the anxieties he had about making sure the Romans were happy, they were his focus. But then something began to happen in him. A sign, perhaps, of his desperation that something could change, that someone could change his life. And when Jesus reached that sycamore fig tree, he stopped, he looked up, and he invited himself to Zacchaeus' house to have tea. It doesn't actually say that in the text, but he did invite himself to Zacchaeus' house. Jesus sowed a seed, and we wait to see what would happen. Would the soil be good enough to grow this seed? So let me give you four ways to grow in the knowledge of God this morning from this story of Zacchaeus that I believe could help every one of us to grow to know Jesus, to know him for the first time, to know him and experience him even more in our lives. So here's my first tip to grow to know Jesus. Get climbing. If you want to grow, get climbing. Change your perspective of who Jesus is. Now, I'm guessing for some of you who are watching, your tree climbing days are long gone. I have to confess, I wasn't very good at climbing trees. I couldn't do it very well. But some of you, you would be up and down there like a shot, but now perhaps not. But there's a danger for all of us that we stop growing in our knowledge of Jesus. We think we know everything there is to know about him. We think because we've read the Bible several times, we've been to church regularly, we've been to Bible study groups, we think that's it. But you know what? I think there's always something new to learn. There's always something new to experience of him. And we need to climb a tree, change our perspective, see Jesus from a different angle, because I think there's so much more to understand about who he is and what he's done and why it matters to each one of us as well. So don't stop climbing trees. Zacchaeus clearly had heard about Jesus, but now he wanted to know Jesus. And Luke 19, verse 3 says, he ran, he climbed a tree, and whilst in the tree, Zacchaeus would know and experience Jesus. So get climbing. Secondly, respond when Jesus speaks to you. You know, don't get stuck up a tree. You know, you've got to come down and you've got to meet Jesus face to face. Come down from your high position. Get closer to him. Welcome Jesus with joy. That's exactly what Zacchaeus did. Luke 19, verse 6. He welcomed Jesus with joy. Suddenly, the soil begins to become fertile. Something new is beginning to grow and sprout in Zacchaeus' life because Jesus stopped and spoke to him. So when Jesus speaks to you, through his word as you read it, just stop and listen, because that's the point that you can get to know who Jesus is. So get climbing, respond when Jesus speaks, and overcome your past. You know, I'm so aware that our past can stop us from growing. We get fixed on what has happened in the past that perhaps wasn't worthy of being called a follower of Jesus. But you know what? Overcome your past. That's what I learned from Zacchaeus. As the crowd were muttering about Jesus going to the home of a sinner, Zacchaeus stood up, Luke 19, verse 8, and made his transformational discovery in that moment. His life could be changed because he could now know, experience Jesus. First-hand experience of the love and the welcome in that moment of who Jesus is. What others think or say, or what you've done in the past, doesn't stop your life from being changed by Jesus. So don't get stuck by what has happened. Overcome your past, because Jesus is in the life-changing business. He's in the forgiveness business. He's in the brand new start business. And Zacchaeus, in that moment, acknowledged what he'd done. He acknowledged that he'd cheated people out of their money because of the taxes that he'd imposed on them, the additional taxes on them. And he changed direction. That's what repentance is about. He changed direction. You know, what I have done, I'm going to make up for, and I'm going to be different from this moment on. he grew to know Jesus and the impact that a Jesus-focused life has. Don't let your past prevent your future. When you encounter Jesus, when you grow to know him, you know, the future becomes different. And finally, work out what to do next. You know, something's got to change. A changed life brings changed actions. More than is needed. Matthew 19, verse 8. Zacchaeus did more than he needed to do. He paid back 4 times. He didn't need to do that. But you see the impact of a life that is impacted by Jesus. Immediate. And when you know Jesus, you'll discover what to do with the rest of your life. There's no need to pretend who I am or what I've done. He knows that already. But work out what to do next. Grow to know him. And Luke 19, verse 9, Jesus announces in that moment, today, right now, salvation has come to this house. For this man too is part of the family. Salvation, wholeness, healing, freedom, life change has come to this man because he's part of the family. He's grown to know Jesus and it's changed his life. It happened to a woman that Jesus met at a well at midday. It happened to a Roman centurion. It happened to a woman caught in adultery. It happened to Zacchaeus. And it can happen to you and to me. If we're going to live well, stay connected so you can bear fruit in every good work and grow in the knowledge of God. Experience the life-transforming power, presence, and forgiveness of Jesus. And you can grow to look like him and live his way. Yeah, Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord." Live in the light of his presence and find out what pleases the Lord. Grow to know Jesus and let your life live out that new reality. Have you met Jesus? Have you encountered him? Are you growing in your knowledge of him? Experiencing firsthand every day the life-transforming love of who he is? Because he's willing to stop and he's willing to come and stay with you. There's a time for climbing trees and there's a time for coming down again. Come down and meet Jesus. Grow to know him because he sees you and his arms are open to welcome you. He longs for you to grow to know him more. You know, we'd love to help in that growing process. If you need some help climbing a tree, we've got people who'd love to climb a tree with you. To help you see Jesus from a new perspective. If you're wondering what to do next, well, read the Bible. Read the Gospels, the good news of Jesus. If you need a Bible, let us know. We'll send you a Bible. We'll send you some notes so you can start this journey of getting to know Jesus. If you're in a place where the past needs to be forgiven, then perhaps today you turn away from that in an act of repentance and you say, Jesus, I give you my life. Or perhaps for you, you just want to know what the next steps are. Well, get in touch with us. We'd love to walk the next steps with you. You just need to email us, inquiry@newcastlebaptist.org.uk. We'd love to help you engage in this story and see your life producing fruit 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold, because the seed that is Jesus has found a rich soil in you and you can grow to know who Jesus is. You may have been following Jesus for a long time, but we can grow and we can continue to experience his presence. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you're prepared to stop and speak our name. And I pray today that wherever we are listening to you, that we will hear your voice and we will know your presence and your power to transform our lives. Help us to understand more about you. Holy Spirit, will you awaken our minds to even more, to see Jesus from a different view, a different facet of this amazing diamond that is shining so beautifully in our world still today. We want to see you. We want to acknowledge you. We want to love you and to walk with you. So thank you, Jesus, for the love that reaches into our lives today, for the cross, for forgiveness, for resurrection power. Help us to grow to know you more. That's our desire. In your name, amen.